Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Kara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that?
Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put something
like
that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best, we're best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
How? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the recipe.
Borrow the pad?
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, Mem Lane promo for all your gift-giving needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and is joining me, as always, is my producer, Sir Rockin.
What's up, Miss Fix-It?
Miss Fix-It, yes. I'm Miss Fix-It today because we are the new and improved fixed wrap because, well, my computer screen got cracked and I had to fix it. So,
She's yeah. Miss Fix-It today, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Fix-It.
Also fixed the A-crack screen on a tablet.
Look at her go. She's all kinds of awesome today. So give her a big round of applause.
Thank you. Actually cutting the screen off the tablet was terrifying because I was doing it with an X-Acto knife and I don't have the best history, so I made it through without cutting anything except the glue. And of course, I'm standing here and I'm going, wow, I really could have used a heat gun on this, and then I realized I have a blow dryer.
Yeah, broken audio, Tim? Anyone else having broken audio, let me know, like, now.
Yeah, if we have broken audio or having any kinds of audio problems, please let us know right now before we kick the show off.
Because Tim just said broken audio. I don't know. Everything's been running fine. Kankin says it's fine, so I'm going to go with him for now.
Hey, Tim! Broken internet! Fix it!
You can send messages to @LindsWard on Twitter for those comments. I didn't take a shot.
You set me up for it.
Now you're just going to get shots in from chat room, Tim. So I'm just, you know, throwing that out
there. Kittens! Ready! Aim! Fire!
Anyway, with all that out of the way, because I think everything's running fine, I think he's just being a dick, because Tim likes to be a dick, because he can be. Because he knows that's the one thing that bugs me, is when the audio doesn't work. Anyway, we got a big show to get into. Let's forget about Tim.
We have a lot to talk about tonight, quite a bit. We've got news. We've got Impact. We're going to talk all about Monday Night Raw because, yes, sadly, we did not get to do the Raw post show. I did have family come into town. Sorry about that, but they invaded my house. They made it through fine. I believe they're on their way home now. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Total Divas. But before we get into everything...
And we mean everything.
Everything. We have our question of the night. And what is our question of the night?
It goes as follows. What WWE superstar would you think makes the best minion?
Ooh. And we're talking the Despicable Me minions, people. Not just a minion in general, the Despicable Me minions. So take that into your consideration.
Right, so, yeah. As Tim Stein says, goes, I might not get even immediately, but I do get even. Bravo, Tim. Bravo.
I could take a really, really, really mean shot, but I won't. We'll just continue. So, let's get into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. Hey to everybody over there that's listening to us.
Hi.
So where do you want to start first?
Well, you tell me. Where do you want to go? You lead the way.
Well, we've got several big stories to get into. I think we'll save at least the one that I really want to talk about for towards the end because we've got some things that we did some research and we can get into. I think the biggest story that's coming out this week, aside from See No Evil 2, is Sheamus is injured.
Yeah, Sheamus got injured at Money in the Bank, as we all saw with his leg, but also he suffered, I believe, a shoulder injury, a torn labrum.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the exact injury on his end of things, and he's going to put him out 4 to 6 months. Which means he's missing SummerSlam, he's missing the big fall WWE lineup, and he might just be ready in time for the Royal Rumble. And we were talking last night, putting the show together, I think this might be the best move for Sheamus.
I kind of agree. We were talking about this last night, and it kind of goes in conjunction with Wade Barrett, too, where Sheamus has sort of become stale. He's kind of becoming stagnant. They don't really have anything for him, so they're just sort of sticking him in where they can. So I think a nice 4 to 6 month break will be good for him. It'll help him recharge, and they might be able to come up with him something for him in that time. And also maybe, you know, possibly reinvent his character as well, because like I said, he's kind of dull. And I like Sheamus. Don't get me wrong. I think he would be an absolutely fun person to go out and hang out with and drink with. But I mean, as far as an on TV character is concerned, he's just really kind of there.
He's sort of stuck in one place at the moment, and it's kind of, you know, halted his momentum, at least in my opinion, and this break might be the best thing for him, honestly.
It really would be. Plus, you know, you could do the surprise return at the Royal Rumble, which somebody does it every year, so maybe Sheamus comes back and he wins the Royal Rumble.
All right, I want to go that far.
Well, it's better than Wade Barrett.
Well, yeah, true, it's better than Wade Barrett, but Sheamus has already won it. Remember that a couple years ago, and
you can win it more than once.
Yeah, but we've seen the story. We need someone new and fresh to win it. We need John Cena to win the Royal Rumble.
Oh, wait, he's done that too.
Shh.
I like to point out, I said Wade Barrett wins the Royal Rumble, and he laughed at me for like 20 minutes.
I did. No, in fact, I laughed at her when she said Wade Barrett should be in the main event of the next month's pay-per-view.
Until I justified it.
Until she justified it, and I went, that could work, but it needs to be more than just a month. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
That might be a good discussion for next week, possibly, or in a couple weeks. If maybe. We remember, so I'll have to write it down.
Or we can talk about during, you know, Raw. We'll get into it a little bit during Raw.
Well, yeah, we can get into it during Raw, so be it. So coming out of Sheamus's injury, we've got good news on the TNA front. Magnus has signed a 2-year deal. And he kind of gave an interesting soundbite.
Yeah, he did. He said, I am very happy to confirm that I've signed a new 2-year deal on improved terms. It came down to the wire between TNA, myself, and my agent. But ultimately, we came to a mutually beneficial agreement. He said to a statement to Fighting Spirit magazine, I'm really excited about the new structure and more streamlined team. It's important to know that while some people may be moving on, TNA is focusing on the priority guys. Simply earn your spot and be rewarded. I can only speak for myself, but my career has steadily progressed financially throughout my entire time with the company. Those were comments he made earlier this week to Fighting Spirit magazine over in the United Kingdom.
Interesting. And what also should be noted is I believe Joe has also re-signed, and there was one other one that re-signed as well.
Bobby Roode. So they've either restructured or extended deals at this point, and they'll be around for a while. So.
And that's definitely a good thing, and it's something to show that it seems that they're focusing more on their core talent and the talent that have, as Magnus said, earned their spot. They're trying to keep those talent while also trimming the fat, as it were.
Right.
The only exception would obviously be Tara, which I'll get into in Impact, because, yeah, I have something to say about Impact. But, let's see, moving on from this to continue with TNA, well, Hulk Hogan might have a movie in the works.
Are you serious, brother?
I'm totally serious, brother. It seems that Hogan is having a movie about his life written for him. And, yeah.
And I believe he wants his son Nick to play him in the movie.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reports are that he wants Nick to play him in the movie because, you know, he would be perfect for the role. He looks the part.
Can he act the part? That's the question.
Wow. I shouldn't make that joke. I'm better than that. I will not make the terrible joke. I will not be
make
Tim
it.
Stein. I will not be Tim Stein. I will not make the terrible joke. We'll move on.
Okay. We'll move on.
Move on.
Speaking of movies, because I said we'd save it to the end, and I've been kind of rushing to get to it, Lionsgate and WWE Films have announced that they have optioned a sequel to See No Evil. That's right, Jacob Goodnight is going to be making his return to the screen, whether it's the big screen or the little screen, that is unknown. But they have announced that See No Evil 2 will be debuting. It's going to start filming in the fall. Just some interesting things to note. The director and the writer have changed for the film. The Soska sisters, I believe that's how you say their name.
I think so.
Are taking the helm as the director. Directors, I should say. And then the film, the writers have changed as well. Unfortunately, I don't recall the writer's name. But, yeah, so basically the premise of the film is that Jacob Goodnight is going to wake up in the morgue and he's going to terrorize a bunch of medical students throughout the morgue.
Interesting.
So, yeah, apparently he's not really dead.
Nathan Brooks and Bobby Lee Darby are the co-writers of See No Evil 2.
Right, and this is going to lead into some SummerSlam talk next week as far as what this does for Kane at SummerSlam, and I think I'm kind of more curious about the fact, is Kane going to have to shave his head again? Because, well, Jacob Goodnight's kind of bald. Kind of really bald.
You mean you can't grow hair while you're dead?
Well, they say you can, that, you know, when your skin shrinks.
Maybe that's what he's doing?
I don't know. Not that much hair.
Well, let's not look at Kane hair and look at Glenn hair, and Glenn hair is not as long as Kane hair.
Yeah, but Glenn hair is still a pretty good amount.
Yeah, Glenn has a nice, I don't want to call it nice, he has a decent length hair. There are spots, but as I get the glare, when I say spot,
yeah, I'm not glaring.
When I say spots on the head. But, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see this movie. And last night, as we were researching, we're going to call it research, we stumbled upon the Soska sisters' past.
Yeah, they directed American Mary and Dead Hooker in a Trunk, I believe is their debut film. If you go and you find the trailers for these and you read the premise of these movies, they like to do very short indie-style films, so this, I imagine this will have a very different look and feel from what See No Evil 1 has. And also, they like to do things extremely violent and extremely bloody. They consider horror their genre,
yeah,
as they've been great admirers of horror their whole life, so it will be definitely very interesting to have their perspective on the film. And also, I would be interested to see if they make a cameo in the film.
Yeah, they like to star in their films, being part in, have, you know, some sort of role in it. I could see them involved. I never saw See No Evil 1, despite all the references we made One Faithful Night, because that was just funny. Hashtag CB Radio 300.
Well, if the certain length area is going to make its film debut, it would make sense for it to make it in the Moor. That's all I gotta say.
It would, and Vince would be, you know, would have a happy, as it were. But in the PG world we live in, and I know this film won't be PG, but in the world we live in, I don't think we're gonna see that member have a featured role.
I would hope not.
I'm just gonna call it. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that. We're getting in dangerous territory, so we'll just kind of move on. But anyway, so congratulations to WWE Films, to Lionsgate, to Glenn Jacobs for the announcement of See No Evil 2. I'm sure it will be terrifying.
In more ways than one.
In more ways than one, and I sat through See No Evil 1, at least most of it. Sometimes I had my eyes closed. I'll just go there. So, yeah, hopefully I can sit through See No Evil 2 without closing my eyes as much, but we'll have to see. I don't do horror well, so.
So, we'll see. We might have to hold our hand as she watches the movie.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Possibly. It took me, it took me several years after the first one came out to actually sit through it.
Coming to the rack in 2018, the review of See No Evil 2.
Pretty much, yeah. So, again, there's not much more information we can talk about on this. It's not been decided whether it's released in theaters or direct to DVD. We will keep you posted as that information comes out, because we may try to, acquire, as it were, depending on the circumstances.
You know how, it's just how we roll.
It's how we roll.
One other little news bit, because we're going to talk about it later in later in the show, we're going to talk about the show, but Total Divas, the ratings went up for the second week. Many were predicting, including myself and Lindsay, the ratings would be going down for the second week of Total Divas, but in fact, they went up to 1.5 million viewers, and he is very happy with the show, and I bet we're going to get a season 2.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Season 2 has not already been ordered based on the numbers. Speaking of keeping on a roll, Total Divas is rolling on. They followed up their debut with a nice, strong second episode. We got to go home with John Cena and Dan O'Brien. We'll get into that a little bit later and give you all the gossip and the details about the episode and what happened with all the girls and the guys. So stay tuned for that later in the show. But now I think we're going to throw it to the first break of the evening.
Sounds like a plan. Remember, everybody, question night, what WWE superstar would make the best minion? We will get your answers later in the program.
Exactly. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about all about tonight's Impact. What happened? Who got hurt? Did titles change hands? Did anybody get hurt? Stay tuned. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Like my shirt, like it when you hold my hand. The way it fits has got me feeling lucky. Lucky.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey, everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes.
Dude, the Godfather stream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open. What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a
pack
of Camel
Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning, and I gotta go.
I should have just crossed the other street because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking...
I'm about to get by on my fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. Now we're going to get into tonight's exciting TNA Impact. Quite a lot happened. And there were definitely more questions than answers, but we'll get into that in a second. This recap is, of course, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. Hey to everybody over there listening to us. Thank you for joining us. Hello.
All right, they can't see me waving.
Right, they can't see you waving. You gotta
oh,
talk.
Yeah, sorry. I was waving. Hi. Hi.
So, anyway, this week's Impact opens up with the Aces and Eights. That's right, Bully Ray, Mr. Anderson, and Taz hijack the opening of the show. We see JB on commentary, and he notes that, well, Mike Tenay is kind of missing. We don't know where he is.
Yeah, as the show rolled on, I don't know if you caught it, because it was during the credits of Cops, they had Taz and Bully Ray bully Mike Tenay out of the building.
I didn't see that. So that would explain it.
Yeah, Taz bullied him out of the building, just basically tell him, you know, hit the bricks and that sort of thing, and you're not going to be doing the job tonight, and then that sort of thing.
Well, we still don't know where he is.
We don't know where he went to, but he was sent home by the Aces and Eights. So, yeah, I like that how they've done that in the last couple of weeks. They've done cold openings with Taz. It's kind of fun.
It is kind of fun. You've got to be there right at the start of the show to catch it. Because otherwise certain things don't make sense. Like, you know, like Janae missing. Doesn't make any sense if you don't see that they kicked him out.
Right.
But anyway, ringside we have Taz, and he slaps JB around a little bit, telling him that he's in his spot, that's his chair, but it's alright. Because he's got another chair.
His chair, his table.
Yes, his show.
His show. His table, and his show. But he's in his chair. But he has another chair that just was conveniently back there.
Which, you know, so it's all good. And then we have Bully Ray take the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Bully calls out Tito for trying to pull surprise last week before noting that he's been booked in a tag match against Chris Sabin and a partner of his choosing tonight. But we don't know who that partner is yet. Ray says it doesn't matter what happens tonight because it's bad news for Sabin next week. They're locked inside a cage with the TNA title on the line, and, well, that's just not good for anybody. Ray told Sabin to hurry on out and make this contract signing official. Sabin's music then plays, and he walks out, belt in hand. Bully yells for the music to be shut off as Taz complains about being locked outside of the building by Hulk Hogan last week on Impact. Once Sabin enters the ring, Ray says it's apparent that Sabin is scared of him. Yeah. Okay. Sabin's looks can be deceiving. Like when Ray acted like Mr. Good Guy earlier this year and married Hulk Hogan's daughter, he fooled us all. Sabin then adds that, well, Bully's eyes are brown and his breath smells like feces because he's so full of crap. Great line.
Mm-hmm.
Sabin lets those words sink in, and then he tried to make an argument about giving Ray a taste of his own medicine by using the Aces and Eights hammer to win the TNA title last month. Sabin then vows to beat Ray again at Hardcore Justice next week. Ray has enough, and he demands that the contract be made official. He demands the Hulk come out. He wants this done. He wants this done right now. And, well, we get a Hogan.
But
we don't get a Hulk.
No, he was getting, come on, Hogan, come on out here. Give me the contract. I want to sign it. But it wasn't Hulk Hogan. It was, in fact, the one and only Brooke Hogan.
Shut her music off, too! Tired of hearing all your music! What are you doing out here?
Well, Mark, I'm actually here because my dad is out of town, meeting with the board. He's been reviewing this contract, and he's also been reviewing your TNA contract. And he sent me with an email that I'm going to read for everybody. And it's good news. So I read, and I quote, "Brother, because Bully tried to pull this legal stunt after losing the title plus all of the anarchy he has created with the Aces and Eights, TNA Impact Wrestling is holding Bully to the letter of the law in each and every contract. There was a special clause in the original contract for the Destination X title match that Bully overlooked in regards to his rematch. The world title will be defended in Norfolk, Virginia, inside a sealed cage. If Bully Ray does not win the match, he will never get a world title match again.
Well, there you go.
What? Gotta be kidding me.
No. Yeah, it's in the contract. Brooke Hogan making it official.
That's bogus.
This is a load of crap. I am not gonna sit here and be bullied by you, but most of all, I ain't gonna be bullied by your father. It'll be a cold day in hell before Bully Ray gets bullied by a measly Hogan.
You don't have to take that.
You're damn right you don't.
Mark. Are you really going to let the whole world find out what I had to find out in our marriage? That you are all talk and very little action.
Well, that was stiff.
Yeah.
Show some respect.
It's a great line.
Great line.
Contract.
It's official.
Sign it! You sign it!
Bully Ray putting his signature to the contract. And now Chris Sabin.
Well, now it's official, JB. The other guy's got to sign it to the champion. Who's going to get this?
And there you have it. Both men signed the contract. I will say this, second week in a row. Bravo, Brooke Hogan. Bravo.
You see, when she's trying to be just a little bit of a bitch,
mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
It is. It really, really, really is. I was impressed. I liked this segment. This was a nice opening bit.
And I'd like to point out also that on commentary you have Taz, JB, and Mr. Anderson. I want this every week. This was amazing. I was so upset when Anderson left the table. I'm like, oh...
Aww. But yeah, they were good to start off the show.
They were. It was really good. It was a really nice open. I like that they didn't save the contract signing for the end.
Right, and I like how it was just, you know, here's a contract. Sign it.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, my dad sent this over. Sign it. Now. Thank
and
you.
I like the line, and I quote, brother.
Yeah, nice little shot there.
Like the bigger news is Hulk Hogan knows how to email.
Well, he knows how to tweet, so I would hope to God he knows how to email.
It's just strange, that's all.
Yeah, well. Speaking of strange, after the break, we get Jeff Hardy taking on Samoa Joe in a really good Bound for Glory series match.
Really good match. Interesting finish. Mr. Anderson got up, which just was enough distraction for Joe to lose some focus, allowing Hardy to jackknife him into a pin for the victory, which means Jeff Hardy earned 7 Bound for Glory points, 7 big points, as points are very valuable, as we'll get into a little bit later.
They will be.
So Jeff Hardy wins, Samoa Joe does not pick up any more points, and it was a nice, really good opening contest to start off the show.
And Anderson is a dead man.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to piss off Joe. Sorry, Anderson.
Joe gave him the look of death and mouthed that at Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fantastic. Just a nice little touch.
So it was a very nice little touch. Good stuff.
But speaking of nice touches, up next we get a backstage promo with one Christopher Daniels. He talks about how Frankie's just being selfish. Bad Influence was built on a 15-year friendship, but there's always a leader and there's always a follower. And of course, Daniels being the ring general that he is, he's the leader. And well, Kaz is just the follower. Daniels is more experienced. He's been in the business 20 years, way longer than Frankie's 15. And Frankie just needs to learn that it's Daniels' time now.
The captain and the crew.
Yep. This was a great promo by Daniels.
It was. The breakup is beginning between Bad Influence. Damn it.
Is it?
Damn it. Wait, what?
Is it? we'll just have to see.
Don't tease me like that.
But it's so much fun. Speaking of teases, Mr. Anderson and Magnus is up next in a Bound for Glory series match.
This is where we all went, oh, Anderson's leaving commentary, first time ever said. But
I know, it's like, oh man.
We actually want to hear Anderson talk.
Anderson and Taz and JB all play really well off of each other. I'm sorry, but they do.
They do. It was a nice shot. A nice little trio on the mic. So we have Anderson and Magnus. Solid contest. And then things got, well, they got interesting, Lindsay.
They did get interesting. We get one Bobby Roode. And, well, he comes out. And you think he'd interfere. You don't know what he's going to do, but you think he'd interfere on Magnus' behalf. At least you think he would. And, well, no. He sort of hits Mr. Anderson with a chair, which disqualifies the points leader, Magnus, and costs him 10 big points.
Yeah. I saw the picture come up online yesterday where it's like, wow, he's really ahead of everybody. And now, he just lost 10 points. He went from 49 to 39 in one night.
Yep. We were saying it. It's like Magnus could technically lose the rest of the series, at least cleanly, and not have a problem with anybody really catching him or not have to worry about it. And, well, now that's not so much the case.
No, it's not, especially what happens next week, but we'll tease that in a bit. Anderson picked up 3 points for the disqualification win.
He did.
So, you know, use your abacuses and figure it out.
Yes, you can go to impactwrestling.com for the latest Bound for Glory standings.
Yes.
And afterwards, backstage, we get Bobby Roode, and he sort of explains to us why he did what he did. Do we have audio?
No, we don't have audio.
Okay, just checking. Bobby then tells us that, well, things are going to change. He's gone back to the old Bobby Roode, to which I say, thank you! And he's perfectly fine with this, as am I. He's selfish. In fact, he loves to be selfish. He's just changed the landscape of the Bound for Glory series. He took away 10 points. And that's only the beginning, and we should stay tuned.
Yes, we shall.
By the way, Bobby Roode, Jeans, thank you so much. Thank you.
Continue.
After this, well, we get another interesting promo, this time from Brian Heppner. Well, at least it starts to, where he's basically asked to explain why he disqualified Magnus. And, well, as Brian's attempting to explain it, or at least he gets about 2 words out, Magnus walks up and basically tells Brian that, you know, there's no hard feelings. He understands. Heppner did what he had to do, and it's a tough call. And he's not worried. He'll get those 10 points back.
You know, tough calls. Things happen. What happens?
You know, don't shoot the messenger kind of thing. Besides, Magnus should take it out on Bobby Roode, not Brian Heppner.
And I think he might just be doing that at some point.
Maybe. We'll have to see. And after this, we sort of get the head-scratcher promo of the night, I guess. Backstage, we see the bromans sitting backstage. That's right, Robbie E. and Jesse.
They
say that they kicked Tara to the curb, well, because of the bromans code, which is basically bros before, yeah.
Bros before train.
Not that we're saying Tara is one by any means, but they put it a little bit more gently by saying bromance before romance. Mickey then interrupts them by walking into the bros' locker room and tells them that she wants them to take care of James Storm and Gunner tonight, and she takes care of one ODB, and, well, you know, maybe a little bit of her spotlight will trickle down on them.
What does trickle mean?
I don't know, dude. I'm already a star. I wear sunglasses.
I love that line. That was a great line.
That was a fantastic line.
If I already didn't redo the intro, I would have put that in there.
I say you still do.
I might. Anyway, interesting little tidbit segment. I know you want to go off at some point on them.
Well, we'll wait till we get to the match.
Okay.
But after this, backstage, or at least elsewhere backstage, we see Angle and Sting. They walk up to Saban, and well, they want to have a little chat. Saban thanks them once again for what they've done. He wouldn't have the title without them. He's very grateful. Sting says that they're on a roll and that the Main Event Mafia plan on taking out someone from Aces and Eights next week. Saban is all hyped about that, but he's got to concentrate on his match tonight. And, well, as they know, he gets to pick his own partner. And he asks them if, well, they could put just a little bit of trust in him. To which they hesitate, but ultimately they agree.
Yeah, they seem like they're up for it. They're going to follow what the world champion wants to do.
Pretty much, yeah. So what does Saban have up his sleeve?
Who will he choose to be his partner?
I wonder. But speaking of leaving us wondering, Tito Ortiz is up next.
Yeah, Tito came out to the ring. He was ready to go. Tito said he knows JB and the fans have lots of questions. And, well, he doesn't have too many answers. He said he has one thing he can say, and this is what brought out Kurt Angle. Wow. I'm sidetracking for a second. People are desperate. I'm just pointing that one out. People are freaking desperate.
Seriously.
That's twice in the last minute and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's like, eight in the last hour. So, there we go. People are desperate. Anyway, moving on. Kurt Angle came out to the ring. And, you know, he was, you know, he stood toe-to-toe with Tito, and Angle said, in this ring, this is his ring, and he has earned the right to be called the greatest pro wrestler ever. He told Tito that he will respect his space, but Tito better respect his. After asking if he makes himself clear, Tito answered, loud and clear. But you would think this would be it. You would think, oh, they're just done talking, and we would get back to a Tito promo. No. We were not done with that at all. Because somebody wanted to, well, speak their mind.
Well, here comes the man who will be the next World Heavyweight Champion.
Shut it off!
Well, he doesn't like his music tonight. He's not in a music mood.
So let me see if I got this straight. You respect him, and you respect him. Right? You guys respect each other? Newsflash, I don't respect either one of you. Because I could probably come in that ring right now and double leg you and make you tap out. And I've been beating the hell out of you for the past 10 years, so that wouldn't be anything new.
Great line.
Mm-hmm. I guess you didn't hear me at the beginning of the show. Do you know who I am?
All right, I'm going to pause. That Tito was great there. Because he did small with the hand. He did the small hand gesture.
Yeah.
He was paying attention. He knows that you're very small.
You're all talk and no action.
There you go.
Allow me to introduce myself to you, Tito. I'm Bully Ray. I'm the president of the Aces and Eights. I'm the soon-to-be two-time World Heavyweight Champion. And I am the guy that will smack you in your stupid face if you get in my way. I'm done with the both of you.
And that's basically where it concluded. We didn't get any answers. not many questions were asked, so everything is still up in the air.
What is Tito Ortiz's agenda? Why is he here? What score does he want to settle? Well, I guess we're going to have to wait to find out, but this was a cute little segment, I will say.
It was a nice tease. It set things up. Nice stuff.
Yeah, very nice stuff. Bully was on fire tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely on fire. After this, we get James Storm and Gunner and ODB, I should say, taking on the Bromance and Mickey James. I'd just like to point out, and this is no offense to the Bromance, but I would trade the Bromance to get Tara back. Just pointing that out.
We should clear, you know, it's not ODB tonight. It's OD drunk, according to Taz.
It's ODB.
OD drunk, according to Taz.
So what is it? Drunk Storm?
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's with the perfect people.
Yeah, she really is, especially with Storm, yeah. This match was fine. Nothing, you know, to write home about. It was a match. It happened. Solid stuff.
It was very entertaining. Everybody got their stuff in. Easy to watch, fun to watch, quick little match. What happened after the match, though, was pretty interesting. Because, well, after the match, Gail Kim attacks ODB and gets run off, or I should say pulled off of ODB. And then, well, Mickey sees her opportunity. And being the witch that she is, well, she takes it.
Mickey was great. Mickey was great in the promo earlier, and Mickey was great here. And she took advantage, laying out her opponents, or possible opponents. So, Gunner and Storm and ODB did win the matchup, we should point out.
Yes, they did win. Congratulations to them. Well done. But, yeah, the women really were the stars in this match. They really were.
They really truly were.
Let's see, after this, well, we get Frankie's opinion backstage. And his thoughts, poor Frankie, well, actually, we should be saying poor Chris. Because, well, Christopher Daniels has forgotten who Frankie is. He's forgotten that Frankie is a 5-time X Division champion, and that Frankie has beaten Chris before in the Impact Wrestling ring and several others. And tonight is a bad night for Bad Influence, because it's all about Frankie tonight. He's gonna win the Bound for Glory series for his family, and he's going to win that title for his family because it's Frankie's time.
God damn it, they're breaking up.
Are they?
God damn, what? She teases me. She teases me. I'm watching the show, they're breaking up, it's all sad, and now she's teasing me with false hope. It's over, it's done with.
Because you make it so fun.
Sad.
Well, did they break up? I guess we're going to have to find out here next. But before we do, backstage, well, they can't believe Saban's nerve. He's sitting there talking to Devon, and he says, we are the 23 tag tag team champions. And Devon stops and goes, no, dude, 24. 23. No, dude, 24.
There was that one time. And
that one time doesn't count. That was fantastic. Bully then says that tonight, he moves on and says that tonight nothing is going to compare to what he's going to do next week to Chris Sabin at Hardcore Justice. Devon says that he'll then back Bully up by sending one of the main event mafia home. Bully smirks and says testify as he walks off with Devon muttering under his breath, that's my line.
That's my line, dude. My life.
Kind of awesome. And now we're going to find out. Bad Influence break up Rock?
Oh no. This can't be any good.
Did they?
No! No, thankfully. No, they did not. They had a solid matchup going on, trading holds back and forth. Really nice chain wrestling, and then it got a little bit physical, and then, you know, Daniels got hot at Kazarian, and they start shoving each other, and then they both stared at one another, and then they walked out of the ring right onto the entrance ramp and just, well, looked at Earl Hebner, and Earl Hebner began his 10 count. And as hard as they tried, they mustered everything they could, but they just couldn't get back into the ring, and the match ends in a double countout. Which means both men get 2 points. 2 big points. Because every point matters in the Bound for Glory series. But it was not done here. No.
No, in fact, the bad influence grew, didn't it?
It did, because Bobby Roode decided to show up with chair in hand, and, well, he stalked them a little bit, and then told them to get in the ring. And Bobby Roode, well, he picked up that microphone.
You see, for the last several months, everybody's been paying attention to the Aces and Eights. Everybody's been talking about the reformation of the Main Event Mafia. The arrival of Rampage Jackson. And of course, the surprise last week of Tito Ortiz. While everybody's been paying attention to that, everyone has forgotten about the three men that you see before you right now. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and the it factor of professional wrestling, Bobby Roode. The three men who comprise of 25% of the BFG series landscape. Think about it. Do the math. There's strength in numbers. You see what you see before you? Is a new force. The three men that you see before you, one of us, will walk into Bound for Glory, the winner of the Bound for Glory series. The landscape has changed. I told the world that the game was going to change, and it has. We own the Bound for Glory series from this point forward. And take a good, long, hard look. Because one of us is going to be your next World Heavyweight Champion.
Wow, an alliance form. You gotta think about it. Two members of the Main Event
That was a fantastic segment. First the match, and then the promo.
Yes. Oh, yes. It was very well done. It was a fantastic tease. They did a wonderful job with it. No complaints. None
whatsoever. No, this was great stuff, and now you got your three top heels aligned, and they're going to use the numbers to their advantage when it comes to the Bound for Glory series.
So, will their prediction come true? Will one of them be the next World Heavyweight Champion, or will egos get in the way? I guess we'll have to tune in and see.
I get this feeling Bobby's going to use bad influence to get what he wants, and in the end, screw them over. But we shall see.
Yeah, but bad influence aren't to be trifled with, and, well, they can do plenty of screwing on their own.
Yeah, they could.
They totally could. Anyway, backstage, after this, we get a promo from Tito where they're asking him, well, what's going on, man? What's happening? And Tito says he knows there's more questions than answers, but next week in Norfolk, Virginia, well, he might just let his fists do the answering.
So Tito will do the talking with his fists at Hardcore Justice next week. Should be interesting.
Question is who's he doing the talking to?
Well, that's the big question. Now, before we get to our main event, we get a preview for next week. The big Hardcore Justice show. They have three big matchups lined up. We have the Aces and Eights versus the Main Event Mafia, 5-on-5 at this point. We will see if it continues to be 5-on-5 with Kurt Angle being in rehab and how long that lasts. We'll see what happens there. With 1 million being, you know, whoever loses a match being gone from TNA. So we'll ask that question to you guys in a minute, or we'll discuss it right after the Impact review. But we also have Styles versus Hardy versus Aries versus Kaz in a ladder match. And we talked all night about the points, how they're very, very important. That ladder match is for 20 points. That's a game changer, especially for the likes of Aries and Hardy and Styles, who I believe are close in the 20 range. That's a game changer. 20 points can put you right in the lead.
It completely can.
And we also have Bully Ray and Chris Sabin for the TNA World Heavyweight title next week. But, yeah, this is going to be a stacked show. Three huge matches lined up for it. I can't wait.
I'm super excited. When they announced that ladder match, I was like, yeah, buddy.
It's on. They're going to bring down the house.
Yeah, Sabin and Bully are going to have a really tough act to follow in that match.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on who's in it. Yeah, they're going to have a tough time following that, so it's going to be interesting to see if they can.
Yeah. But it is main event time, Lindsay.
It is main event time.
Team 3D versus Chris Sabin and the man they call Sting. I mean, Kurt Angle. They did the old bait and switch. Sabin brought out Sting and, well, no. Kurt Angle came from behind and attacked, so it's Kurt Angle and Chris Sabin.
This was a nice little ruse on their part.
See, the champ had a plan. The
champ did have a plan.
And the champ's plan worked.
It did.
This was a really good match, too.
It was. It was a great match. Thoroughly enjoyable. Had a nice finish at the end of it.
Yeah, it did. We saw Kurt Angle get hit by the 3D. Then Team 3D was not done. They brought a table set up in the corner. Ray was charging at Sabin, but Sabin moved, allowing Bully Ray to crash hard through the table. Devo was sent flying to the outside. Back in the ring, cross body off the top rope. Bully Ray goes down. 1, 2, 3. Chris Sabin beats Bully Ray. Sabin and Angle beat Team 3D.
So that raises the question, can Bully pull out all the stops to beat Chris Sabin next week?
In the cage.
In the cage, where he's not going to have his buddies from Aces and Eights.
Mm-mm.
But then again, Sabin's not going to have his buddies in the main event mafia.
No, no. So, really, really good show tonight.
It was a really strong offering. It was a nice, I guess you could say, go home to Hardcore Justice.
It was. It was their go home, technically, yeah. Now the question I want to ask you, who is getting fired? Who is leaving TNA? Not getting fired. Who is leaving TNA? Who's going to lose next week?
That's hard to say.
I mean, logistically, we can think it's an Aces and Eights member, but I think that's where they want us to think. Could we be seeing Kurt Angle, or, you know, could Sting lose the match and be done? Sting losing would be a major blow to the group, but it's kind of one of those things. TNA could pull out and Sting could be going home.
It would be. They're so confident. The main event mafia is so confident in the fact that it's going to be somebody from Aces and Eights that I almost would like to see it be somebody in the mafia lose. And given Kurt's current legal problems, it would make sense that he loses and he's gone from TNA, and then it comes out later that they got the contract amended to, you know, basically Angle can come back, or something happens where Angle is allowed to come back.
King Kins brings up Rampage.
Because they're using him to build the Ortiz match, I don't think he will.
No. I don't think it's going to be Rampage. I wouldn't be surprised. You say Kurt. You wouldn't be surprised if it's Kurt. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Sting.
I can see Sting, too. It's something of, it's summer and going into fall, and Sting isn't going to necessarily have a place at Bound for Glory So it's going to make sense, more sense, I guess, to see Sting leave. But I can see Angle, too. But then again, Angle's also going into the Hall of Fame. So that strengthens his chance of staying.
But you don't have to be a part of the company to go into the Hall of Fame.
This is true, you don't. And something could be like at Bound for Glory, you know, Dixie Carter and Hulk Hogan basically reinstate Kurt or re-sign Kurt. Because it doesn't say they're gone forever. They just,
they're gone for good.
Oh, they're gone for good?
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever for good means, which at the end of the day, brother, will probably be like Knox.
I can see it being like Knox. I can see it being Wes. I can see it possibly being Garrett. But what, seeing as Eric is taking over creative, I doubt it will be Garrett.
No, I don't think it'll be Garrett. But I'm interested. That's one of the matches I'm looking forward to. I'm looking through all three, but I'm not exactly looking forward to the match itself, but the ending. The ending has me intrigued. I'm looking forward to seeing who it actually is that is gone from the company, because that's a game changer when you lose somebody like that.
Right, and when they're gone for forever, that, like you said, that's a game changer that puts everything in doubt, because if the Mafia loses either Sting or Angle, that's huge to them. If the Aces lose somebody high up on the food chain, or that's going to affect them, but seeing as the higher ups, and I use that in quotations, aren't technically in the match. You've got Anderson and you've got D-Von in the match, but you've got three guys who could easily take the fall and probably will over Anderson and D-Von.
Right. Storyline, it makes sense for it to be one of the Aces and Eights, but the shocker, if you want to go for a shocker, I would get rid of one of the Aces and Eights, but that's just me.
But the other kind of question is will Kurt Angle be there at all, and will we see this go from a 5-on-5 to a 4-on-4?
Yeah, 5-on-4. It'll be interesting. I'm kind of curious to see what happens. Main Event Mafia leaves, we lose a member. It's possible. It really, really is. But that's the intrigue for next week. Yep. Will Bully Ray win the world title? Prediction.
I'm going to go with yes.
Because it was in the contract that he will not be able to get another title shot, and as they put it online, not another title shot at Chris Sabin.
I would say Bully gets his title back just because it creates more intrigue for who's going to win the Bound for Glory series, whether it's going to be somebody in the Main Event Mafia, whether it's going to be Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, or, well, whether it's Mr. Anderson.
Rack exclusive.
Rack exclusive. And also, I think it's... You had Bully and D-Von lose this week, so...
If you go by logic, wrestling logic, WWE logic, usually, and, you know, TNA sort of follows that sort of pattern, because that's a wrestling pattern. If you lose on the go-home, you're usually winning on the pay-per-view or the big event. As it were. I could see Bully getting his belt back. I really could. It'd be more intriguing to see Saban keep it and just see where they go. But with Bully getting the belt back, it means the brother man isn't going to be in the ring, which I think that might be the best for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's really the best for a lot of people. And also, it's going to be interesting to see, well, do they somehow get that hammer, or they get, you know, how the hammer gets in the ring, because I'm sure it will be involved, or how the Aces are involved, or how the Main Event Mafia are involved.
Remember, if you remember back how Bully won the title, it was in a cage at Lockdown. D-Von was able to get the hammer into Bully, you know, climbing up the cage and tossing it into him. So it's going to keep them out, but will it keep them away?
Right.
It'll be interesting. If I had to make a pick, I'm going Bully to be on the safe side. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if Saban walks out champion still.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I can honestly see them giving it back to Bully just for the intrigue of, oh, you know, TNA, you know, management and Hogan think they finally have Bully. They've got aces on the ropes. You know, they're getting ready to go down kind of thing. And then Bully gets the title back. And it's like, shoot.
Hardcore Justice could be the night Aces and Eights grab back control, because if, I would think Aces, you know, they could technically win a match and then get rid of a big member and then get their belt back. Could be a big night for the Aces and Eights. Big night. But we'll have to see. It's intriguing.
We will.
It's very intriguing. I'm looking forward to next week's show. Next week should be a really big show, and we'll break it all down next week on The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, 11 p.m. Eastern. Join us for that.
Yes, and we don't know what Tito Ortiz, what factor he's going to play either.
He's going to play some role in some sort of match. We shall see.
We shall see. But on that note, I say we throw it a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about all... God, if I could talk tonight. All about tonight, or last week's, this week's, whatever. Raw. Yes, we're going to be talking about Raw. Yes, because I completely lost my train of thought.
Raw.
Yay, I screwed up.
Raw, Total Divas, Tweet of the Week, and so much more.
Yes, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
We might be through with the past.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA related events, and a first look on the behind the scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. Yes, King Kittens, Ring of Fire. And, well, that certainly plays into Monday Night Raw quite a bit. But before we get to that, I say we have just a little bit of fun first with Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
You want to go first, or shall I?
I'll go first.
All right.
All right, so there's a picture that accompanies this first one.
Okay.
So, pasting it in the chat room. Pasting it for Rock.
I'm scared when she finds pictures, because... Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, from Christopher Daniels. Breaking news! Christopher Daniels found on Dot Steiner Noel a floor diagnosed pregnant with food baby.
Oh, Chris. Oh, Chris.
Yeah. He's a special little snowflake.
Mm-hmm. Very special.
Caitlin! At Biggie Langston, the hashtag 8th Malicious first order of business is to get you a singlet that provides more coverage. Biggie Langston, beware at Caitlin WWE. I'm assembling a group I'll refer to as the hashtag Biggs, or something more suggestive, to put an end to your thuggery. And then he continues, dot, 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 but not too suggestive. I'm trying not to get fired. Basically a name that's cringe-inducing, but not petition to have released level. Jovia. Somebody's begging him for a follow and says, will you please follow me? You will not regret. Or follow me, please. You will not regret. I guess it. To which he responds, why wouldn't I regret it? I regret just about everything I do. And then Christopher Daniels, at Real Bobby Roode, at Frankie Kazarian, and I have formed an extraordinary gentleman's organization, and one of us will main event Bound for Glory. And that's all I got. But do we have anybody from... Oh, yes! We do! We have Kane Kittens. Thank you, Kane Kittens. From Vicky Langston. Three... Augio at WWE AJ Lee. If this Layla thing is going where I think it is... I'd like my letter jacket, Thighmaster, and Tony Little Gazelle back. Oh, dear. See, anybody else? Any other tweets? Let's see what else we can find out on the Twitters. Yes, we're actually scouring for a live tweet of the week. Yes. It's a rack first. By the way, thank you to Acer and Kane Kittens for helping to plug our show. Yes, if you'd like to plug our show, just please include Rock and I in the tweet. Or at WTR_rack, as we do actually check the Twitter now, because, yeah, I kind of have to. Or else Rock, you know, glares at me menacingly through Skype. So, let's see. And so far I can't find anything. Oh dear. So what else? What else can we tweet? Let's see. By the way, Memorabilia Lane, go there now. They have promotions and collectibles on special, so check out memlanepromo.com for that. Let's see, the Falcons lost, but it's preseason, so I'm totally okay with that. And it's to the Bengals. Who really cares? And thank God you're back. I don't have to fill time.
Sorry about that. Had to take care of something. Anyway.
I'm sure you did.
I really did. So tweets. AJ Lee, watch SmackDown tonight to see me go to town on Caitlyn. Her follow-up tweet. It's entirely possible there was a better way to phrase that. Kevin Cooney, someone named Todd Cunningham, just butted out for the Braves. Fonzie and Potsy would have done better. Dolph Ziggler, why all the hate for A-Rod? Plenty of fish in the sea, ladies. Oh, and there's that chicken. Hashtag Yankees. Not Bill Walton. Vince Young signed with Green Bay. He's now playing in an area with unlimited beer and cheese. I'm sure his weight problems won't be an issue.
Oh, God.
I have one that accompanies a picture as well. Tommy Dreamer goes as follows. Just won a game of pretty princess, crown earrings, ring necklace, bracelet. I used to be hardcore, and there's a picture of him, well, with all the jewelry on. AJ Lee, I haven't been home in almost 20 days. Pretty sure once I lay down, my bed and I will fuse into one giant posturepedic super being. Someone tweets, A-Rod Singles. A reporter here named Dennis Deitch goes, worst processed cheese ever. Lance Storm, someone tweets Lance Storm, fake Disco Inferno death on Monday, fake Lance Storm suicide today. Some people have too much time on their hands. Lance Storm replies, maybe the fake me was very distraught over the fake Disco death?
No, Lance, that's not it.
No. And finally, someone named Steve Hummer writes the following. Phillies lineup. Number 1, sadness. 2, depression. 3, anger. 4, guilt. 5, fear. 6, acceptance. 7, pestilence. 8, famine. 9, death.
Just curious, which one is Papel Blown?
He fits a lot. So, see, I could take a shot at my team.
And we have one from Kane Kittens where it says, the most terrifying natural disaster of all time, which is basically Jar-Nado. Jar-Jar-Nado, excuse me. Oh, dear. And Acer has one from Rebby Sky. Every time someone makes a Rebby Sky hate account, a cute kitten is born. I love kittens. Every time a troll tells me to suck a cock, Matt Hardy smiles. Matt Hardy loves... ... smiling.
Yeah. Okay.
Alright, so that is Tweet of the Week. So, shall we get into Monday Night Raw and explain the Johnny Cash reference?
You go right ahead.
Well, to put a finer point on it, the Johnny Cash reference has to do with, well, a Ring of Fire that was announced on Monday Night Raw. But before we get into that, so the show opens with Stephanie McMahon in the ring. She's all smiles. She's happy to be there. And she tells us that, well, Daniel Bryan isn't exactly up to snuff, so Stephanie came up with a brilliant idea of giving him a corporate makeover in hopes that he would be more in line with what her father, Vince McMahon, the chairman of the board, would want.
Hold on. Now, if you heard us on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, you knew we were looking forward to this, and we had many ideas of Daniel Bryan being in some sort of suit, as it were.
Yes, we did.
And this is where I'll let Lindsay take over.
Well, before we get to the suit, Daniel Bryan, we get a lovely montage of him at a spa, him at a gym, him at a Texas Roadhouse, eating a steak, which looked really gross. And, well, then we get Daniel Bryan, you know, who's been such a sport about this whole thing, and he comes out in a navy blue suit.
Mm-hmm.
Called it. A blue striped shirt, light blue striped shirt, and a nice diagonally contrasting yellow and other colored tie. I forget what all colors were in the tie, but I do remember it was yellow.
It was a nice complimentary look. Yes, it was a very complimentary look. Yes, it was.
He comes down to the ring. He does his usual intro. Stephanie is all smiles. She's so excited. She thinks this is going brilliantly. And Bryan begins to speak. He begins to cut his promo. But before he can really get into it, actually, he does get into it. He gives a great promo about being a wrestler and how John Cena is an entertainer.
He talked a lot about being a wrestler and how if he got fired, he would go back to an armory or a gymnasium or whatever and wrestle. Well, John Cena wouldn't have to wrestle again in his life because he has the big mansion and the big and all the cars, and he doesn't need to be a wrestler. He's an entertainer.
Right. Which was a nice shot.
Oh, yeah. It was a fantastic shot.
So then we get, after we have Bryan complete his little promo, we have Vince McMahon come out.
Vince McMahon was not happy. Vince did not like... He wasn't too pleased with this whole look. Because something wasn't exactly right.
No, it wasn't. No, Bryan had the suit, he had the attitude, you know, his hair was slicked back. He looked professional, except, well, for the small animal that's growing on his face.
That beard thing, yeah. It was different. He has the slick back hair, which was amazing, and then, you know, there's the beard sticking out right there.
Actually, I tell you what he looked like. He looked like the younger brother of Damian Sandow. He seriously did. Like, if you stand Sandow and Bryan next to each other, in Bryan's look, and when Sandow wears a suit, they could be family.
Yeah, they could.
It's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. And to basically sum up this segment, Vince wanted Daniel Bryan to cut off his beard to become more of a corporate champion. To become the corporate goat, you gotta get rid of the beard. And he was very hesitant, and then, well, Vince brought down the chair, you know, and tells Daniel to get in the chair, and he's very hesitant, and, well, he eventually gets in the chair, and he's ready for his, you know, shaving. And then Vince calls out, well, we need a barber. So the best barber he can find, Wade Barrett.
Yeah, because, you know, they couldn't, you know, hire a barber.
No. They saved some money. They went to the locker room. They found themselves a barber. His name wasn't Brutus. It was Wade. And he came down. He's ready to shave himself a goat. Daniel had a great line. What was it? Because I know you had it best.
Daniel had a line where he was basically pointing to his chin, and he goes, I want to save a little bit right here. I want to keep a little bit right here on my chin, just right here, as he's pointing to his face. And Wade is like, I'm here to shave your beard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? Wade's like all baffled, and he keeps leaning in, and then eventually, you know, when Wade is close enough, Bryan goes bonk with his skull, headbutts Wade, and gets out of the chair.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, Daniel picked up the shaver, and, well, he shaves himself a Barrett.
He did shave himself a Barrett.
He got up good. He really did. And if you watch backstage Fallout the next night, you could see this big, the next night, there's this big, old protrusion coming out of the forehead of Wade Barrett.
There was. You really actually do feel pretty bad for Wade because Brian just absolutely went to town on his face. More ways than one. Mm-hmm.
This was a fantastic segment. Daniel Bryan was on fire. Vince was really good in his role as the promoter. Barrett was good in his role. I was really impressed with this whole segment, and it tied into what Cena was. Cena came out later in the night and basically did the opposite of the promo. Basically talking about how this is what he does, this is where he lives, and you know, you gotta bring your best if you're going to beat me. Basically was the point of it. And these two will square off at SummerSlam on the 18th, which we'll preview next week. I thought Daniel Bryan was a really, really good star of the show, and this all led at one point to it's the sixth man later in the night, the Shield versus Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and Randy Orton, which left some questions, some interesting questions.
It did, but one thing we kind of like to get into a little bit is maybe, you know, the prospect of Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett. And the theory behind that is really kind of simple, which is that Hunter is backing Daniel Bryan. He's very clearly backing Daniel Bryan. So, well, Vince wants to find somebody who's more in line with his vision.
Right.
And somebody who...
Go ahead.
Who, you know, fits the bill, as it were. And, well, why wouldn't it be Wade Barrett? Why couldn't it be Wade Barrett? Wade Barrett has everything that Vince sort of looks for.
Right. And Hunter and Vince had a nice little... Hunter had a nice little promo later in the show where he talked about he's going to stop Vince from, you know, interfering at SummerSlam and that sort of thing. And it's like, could Vince's plan involve Wade Barrett? Could Wade Barrett become that guy? Could he become Vince's champion? Because, as Lindsay said, he has the look. He has the size.
And it's something of, with Vince backing Wade Barrett and selling Wade Barrett essentially to the masses, that sort of helps to bolster Barrett's credibility. And this isn't something where you do Barrett versus Bryan at Night of Champions, but maybe further down the line, it's say like a Survivor Series or Royal Rumble, you have, in the meantime, you put Wade Barrett on a hot streak. You have him winning and you build him up to be a contender for Bryan, depending on for how long Bryan holds that title for.
Right.
And you sort of put that in that situation where you do maybe Wade Barrett versus Daniel Bryan at like a Survivor Series type event or at another pay-per-view. You could do it at like Hell in a Cell. Any pay-per-view. You just put enough time where you can build Barrett up to be a credible champion or be a credible contender to Bryan.
But then again, as we've seen with Ryback, you don't really need to win matches to get a title shot.
You don't really need to win matches to get a title shot, but they've done a really nice job building Bryan up, and I'd like to see them do the same thing with Wade. I think they really could. Where basically you have them do with Wade what they did with Drew McIntyre a few years ago, where Wade is that chosen one, and Vince is behind him 100%.
Right.
And will do anything to see that Wade succeed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I can see them doing something like that with Wade or with really anybody Vince chooses. We don't know because it's obviously going to come down to Hunter's guy versus Vince's guy.
Right, and it'd be interesting. I know everything's going to culminate at some. There's going to be a peak in the story at SummerSlam. And it all depends. And Wade could be that guy. It's like I was telling Lindsay, like, maybe I could possibly believe it. I could buy into it. I told her to sell me on it, and she did a pretty good job of selling it.
Yeah, and one of the things that, as King Kittens points out jokingly in the chat room, you know, who's the best of NXT Season 1, but really you could tie that personal history into it.
You really could.
You know, as far as, you know, Bryan took the shot. Well, he was in WWE. He got fired, and then he got brought back. And whether it's a work or not, well, we'll never know that. But still, he took a shot at that. He referenced that. So it's very easy to go back and reference, well, Wade Barrett was pegged for success.
Right.
And you could even sort of, even though it technically doesn't work, I guess you could force it to work if you wanted to, but you could have Wade Barrett tell Daniel Bryan, well, you benefited from when I hurt my elbow. I should be where you are right now. If I hadn't got hurt, you stole my spot. You stole my place. Kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that could work. I could see it. I can envision it.
How the hell do you make peanut butter light?
What now?
They have a peanut butter product that's a whipped type thing. So I don't know. It's like the consistency of whipped cream. I don't know. How do you do that to peanut butter?
I don't know. Anyway.
It should glue your mouth shut. That's just the way it is. Deal with it, people.
Right.
Anyway, after this, moving on, basically the gist does, this was a fantastic opening to Monday Night Raw. It really kind of set the tone for the show. They did a really great job with it. It definitely lived up to at least my expectations of what it was going to be.
I think it exceeded mine.
And so I'm really looking forward to see what they do next week to follow it up. I'm looking forward to see what they do at SummerSlam and... really, until this feud is over, and hopefully this isn't just a one and done. Hopefully they go further with this, which would be kind of cool.
Right, because the other X factor in it all is Randy Orton, and we'll get more to that next week.
We will.
Another high point of the show that we wanted to get into was the return of Ricardo Rodriguez. Ricardo made his return after being injured, aka suspended for 30 days. And he was in he did his old intro for Del Rio, crowd popped for it, and, well, Ricardo put a bucket in the ring, and, well, it cost Del Rio the match against Rob Van Dam, and Ricardo's there begging for forgiveness, and then Del Rio just snaps on Ricardo and just beats the crap out of him.
Del Rio was literally beating him like a government mule. I mean, he was hitting him with a bucket until it was smashed. He was kicking him. He threw him out of the ring. And for the coup de grace, he stuck Ricardo's head between the steel steps and then kicked them. And then Ricardo basically just laid there, pretty much dead. And it's like, dude! So, yeah, of course, that just led to kind of the joke that I can't quite formulate, which is somebody go get David Otunga. Del Rio's going to need a lawyer. Or Ricardo's going to need a lawyer. Of course, I could be wrong on that, but yeah, so the whole thing was just, it was a nice assault by Del Rio, but it's really a little sad that you have to use Ricardo, who is clearly more over than Del Rio, to get Del Rio over. That's really sad. And yeah, that King Kittens again brings up an excellent point of, El Locale returns. Well, we don't know. See, the thing is it's like, could Ricardo have gotten suspended again? Could he be on his way out? Or could he be actually entering the ring? We really don't know. We know Sin Cara is really not lived up to his hype, and, well, Ricardo can go in the ring. If you have never seen Ricardo wrestle, he wrestles under the name El Locale. It's a mask gimmick. Look up El Locale, or look up Ricardo Rodriguez NXT. He can go. He can really go. He's put on some absolutely fantastic matches. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see where they go from here. And if the next feud isn't between Ricardo and Del Rio, interesting to note, Ricardo did put out his very first tweet since the assault on, or I should say on, good lord, by Del Rio, if I could talk tonight. Sorry, I'm kind of sort of having to cover. But basically he said, it's been 2 days and I still can't grasp what happened on Raw, 3 years of friendship, not hurt not just by my boss, but by my friend, hashtag betrayed. And then apparently he hung out with friends this afternoon. So, good to hear that he's at least, okay. And apparently it was with a lemur. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so curious and curiouser to see what happens between Del Rio and Ricardo. Hopefully Ricardo is not on his way out because I would miss him terribly. But kind of moving on a little bit, since Rock isn't back yet. we're going to go ahead and kind of talk about what's going to happen on SmackDown, or at least kind of sort of tease also the fact that Christian is the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. They worked on that as well on Raw, sort of helped to build that up. And so they're doing a nice job with Christian. Will Christian get his one more chance, or will he get screwed over either by Del Rio or by, well, one Damian Sandow? Because, yeah, we got kind of an interesting little promo from Cody Rhodes, as you heard on this show and probably on WTR. One of the things we talked about was the Money in the Bank case, more specifically, where is the Money in the Bank case? Because, yeah, you know, it's all about the briefcase and the contract and what happens to that contract when the briefcase is no longer there. And, well, you know, is it invalid? Is it not invalid? Did a fan dive in the Gulf of Mexico and go get it? Did WWE go get it? Did Cody go get it? Who went and got it? That question got answered Monday night when Cody Rhodes shows up with a very damp cardboard box and cuts a promo on Damian Sandow, basically telling Damian that, well, he spared no expense, and if Damian really wants the briefcase, he can have it back kind of thing. Cody then pulls out a very damp and I'm sure smelly briefcase. It's covered in seaweed and water and whatnot, and no, we're not moles, King Kittens. And he calls out Damian. Damian comes out and says, put the briefcase down. Put it down now. I demand that you put it down and walk away. Cody does so, but tricks Damian. Damian tries to quickly get in the ring and get out, but Cody then proceeds to beat the crap out of Damian and kick him out of the ring. And then we see the briefcase popped open and salt and whatnot, and a very, 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 very damp contract falls out of the briefcase, which led to a fantastic meme of Damian Sandow chasing the briefcase down a river going, it's just a little wet, it's just a little wet, it's okay, it's okay, it's all good. So bravo to whoever came up with that meme, and I'm so sorry about this. I'm trying to do this justice, sadly I cannot. And sadly I cannot send us to break either while Rock is otherwise indisposed. So then we're going to kind of sort of move on from Cody and Damian. See, let me actually pull up the physical Raw results because I'm going off memory. Sorry. I was kind of hoping. Let's see. And I'm going to hold off on the Ring of Fire. I wanted to kind of get into it in order, but we're going to hold off on the Ring of Fire until Rock gets back just a little bit, because yeah, we've got to talk about this one in depth. We got a really nice match between Big E Langston and Dolph Ziggler. That was really fantastic and good. Love AJ, love her so much. Harley AJ, yay! What was kind of interesting about this show was we actually got two tag team matches on this show. We got the Usos and Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro, and we also got the Wyatts in Eric Rowan and Luke Harper taking on Tons of Funk. So, aliens! We got two tag team matches and a six-man tag. Aliens. Complete, total aliens. Let's see, we got a really... not even a match between Mark Henry and Ryback. Can Ryback just kind of go away? Yeah, kind of, sort of. Oh, they do. I totally agree. King Kittens made the comment in the chat room about, you know, I've said it before, but that Caitlyn spear just looks crazy powerful when AJ's on the other side of it. They work great together, at least in selling it. I absolutely agree. When she ragdolls that move and just completely totally sells it 100%. That was fantastic. I love the fact that they got into it in the middle of the ring. I like the fact that Caitlyn ends up actually costing Dolph the match with the distraction. That was amazing. And how she sort of just kind of sulks out of the ring and runs off really quickly before Dolph can kind of recover from being beaten up by Big E Langston. And then, of course, you know, there's AJ's face after the fact where she's sort of hovering in the corner as she's watching all this go down, which was pretty hilarious. Let's see, what else? What else? What else? What else? We got a really bad backstage promo from the Bellas and Eve Marie, but we'll sort of get into that when Total Divas runs around, and of course, you know, Natty walks up and slaps the crap out of Brie, and thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
Sorry for the terrible time filler. I've just been sitting here talking.
You're probably doing a fine job.
No, I'm not. I'm doing a horrible job.
Have you gotten into Black and Punk yet?
No, I was saving the Wyatts and Brock and Punk and the Hunter stuff for when you got back.
All right, let's get into Brock and Punk.
Okay, well, you set it off because I've been talking for like 5 minutes.
All right, so Curtis Axel and CM Punk had a match, and pretty good match, and afterwards... You know, Punk was trying to get his hands on Heyman, I believe how it was set up, and then out came Brock Lesnar, and they had a fight like no other. They beat the crap out of each other. Holy crap. They were just going off on one another.
They were. They really were.
It was a hell of a fight. They went back and forth. Punk was, you know, a spitfire as he always is, and he kept coming and coming up for more. But, you know... Brock is kind of a badass, and, well, he was able to take advantage of Punk. Punk was able to escape for a while. I believe he was able to corner Heyman at one point and was ready to attack him with a chair, I think it was.
Yeah, he was.
He had a chair and was ready to go because he was able to hit Lesnar with a chair a couple times to get out of the F5. But at the end of the day, another F5 laid out CM Punk.
And Punk got a really bad cut on his chin, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how, though.
Yeah, I've watched that segment back a couple times. I'm trying to figure out where he got it. And I'm not entirely sure.
May have been on the table, maybe.
It would have had to have been on the outside of the ring. That's the only thing I can figure. And it must have happened, I guess, early on. I don't know. But yeah, he got a really bad cut on his chin, and he actually had to get stitches put in. Because of it.
Yeah, and there's pictures of it on WWE.com.
So, Punk and Brock seem to really be going at it, which this has a really nice intensity to it, and I like how they're building this, and they're really putting the effort into it.
Yeah, they're really putting a big effort into it. I'm liking it. This feud has a lot of intensity. It's like... It's one of those... They're building this feud nicely. Let's put it that way.
What they're kind of doing with it is they're making a bit about Paul Heyman and CM Punk, which is what it should be. And Brock is really sort of a means to an end for both sides, where it's like, if Punk can take out Brock, then Punk can get to Heyman.
Right.
But there's also that X factor of Curtis Axel. And we don't know where he stands in the whole feud.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Heyman, Brock is the obvious choice to eliminate CM Punk just based on the size difference.
Right.
Because you look at Brock and you look at Punk, and on paper, technically, Brock should be able to pick up Punk and snap him in half.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of seen that where in the last couple encounters Brock and Punk have had with each other, Brock has laid Punk out.
Yeah, CM Punk would throw everything he has at CM Punk. CM Punk would keep coming back. And CM Punk's a fighter, and Brock is just a little too much for him.
Yeah, the thing is, CM Punk has the stamina and he's going to keep getting up, but eventually he's throwing everything up against a wall in Brock Lesnar, and eventually he's going to run out of things to throw. And you look at Brock Lesnar and he's really conditioned to fight. Not that Punk isn't, but Brock is, you know, from his UFC days, a legit professional fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And he's maintained that condition. So he can go for multiple rounds. He can go for a long period of time in a fight, especially in something like this, and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, and that's not to say that Punk doesn't have his advantages as well, but it's just, you know, as far as how they are on paper, it's, for all intents and purposes, Brock looks like the better candidate, but we'll just have to see. But yeah, they're doing a really nice job with this.
Oh, they really and truly are.
And I'm really excited to see this at SummerSlam.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to this. One, this is like the match. There's three matches I'm really looking forward to, and this is one of the three big ones I'm looking forward to SummerSlam, because SummerSlam is shaping up to be a big show.
Yes. Yes, it is. And they're doing, like I said, they're doing a fantastic job. I told Rock, especially with the next thing that we're going to talk about, I may actually scrape up the money and buy SummerSlam. Just because I do want to see it that much. They've sold me on the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that it would be worth it to me to pay the $50 to buy it.
Right.
But what we're going to get into now is really tied to the Johnny Cash reference. And, sorry, long way round as far as that's concerned. But... basically, the Ring of Fire has to do with this. As I mentioned, the Wyatts had a tag team match. They faced Tons of Funk. And after the match, Bray Wyatt cut a promo on Kane. And I wish we had the audio of it.
If you give me a moment, I hopefully I'll be able to endeavor and pull up the audio. So give me one moment.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to give Rock one moment. We're going to stall while we give one moment. I can't do this promo justice just because it was absolutely incredible. Bray Wyatt is just money.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt is always money when he gets on the microphone. And, well, thank you, WWE YouTube. Here we go.
The devil's favorite demon is no monster, man. He is an illusion. He's a fairy tale. The demon is a lie. But me, I'm much, much different, man. I am the man of a thousand truths. I am Bray Wyatt, the Eater of World. And I am forever game. Follow the buzzard.
We should note that right now, Bray Wyatt and the Wyatts are panicking. They're kicking Brodus and them out of the ring as Kane's pyro went off and he appears on the video screen.
When you pull the wings off of buzzards for fun, they're impossible to follow, Bray. I don't condemn your intentions, but I do see through your haze of cryptic words. You're here to maim, disfigure, and mutilate everyone who crosses your path. I like that. I do these same things, too. But I don't do them to spread a message. I do them for my own personal amusement. And at SummerSlam, you'll find out why I am the devil's favorite demon. Because no one does the devil's work better than I do. And at SummerSlam, you'll see the reason why. Your family won't be able to save you. No one is going to be able to save you from inside a ring of fire.
Oh.
quite know what Kane means by a ring of fire, but one can only guess.
So what does he mean by ring of fire, Lindsay?
Well, the automatic assumption by everybody is that it is, in fact, going to be an Inferno match.
Right.
I mean, he could simply be referring to after he beats Bray and he sets off his pyro like he did at the end of the segment, but the inferred reason is Inferno match, and the See No Evil announcement ties into this, where they could easily write Kane off TV for several months if he loses with the Inferno match. It's the automatic excuse kind of thing.
Right.
This match has been getting a lot of buzz. A lot of people, including me, are excited for it. Like I said, everybody pretty much instantly inferred that they're going to light the ring on fire, which, mm-hmm.
It's like,
yes.
Oh my God, can we light the ring on fire? How can we burn somebody right now? Let's do it. Let's make someone, let's set someone ablaze.
Well, it's kind of one of those things that it's a very surprising stipulation, especially for this feud. You wouldn't think that they would pull this out so early in the feud. I'm kind of hoping it's not a one-and-done situation. And we actually had a very long discussion last night about what the step up would be from this, which we could probably have that discussion after SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could tease it now. You could tell them what you were thinking.
I don't remember what I was thinking. That's a problem.
Well, you thought of the one that you can't really do, and that's First Blood.
Yeah, I thought of the one that they can't really do, First Blood. And then I kind of thought of another scenario where the Wyatts drag Kane off and sort of bring Kane back under their control, and Bray Wyatt controls Kane.
Right.
And you have him pop up every once in a great while. It's not the best situation, but while he's gone for the movie, then it's something of, okay, well, you could have him pop in and out here and there and have him be kind of sort of more of that special attraction, kind of fighting Bray's control. And either he breaks free or he comes back under Bray's control because there's nobody at this stage to really, quote-unquote, save Kane.
Yeah.
He's got to save himself.
He's all on his lonesome.
Right, so it's either Kane has to save himself or somebody has to take down Bray Wyatt. And then it's like we were actually talking about the situation of this, you know, I'm not quite sure what the second step would be, but eventually they could actually take this to Hell in a Cell, depending on how they build it.
Right, you could actually do that, yeah.
Where you find that middle step, whatever it is, whether it's First Blood, Last Man Standing, whatever.
And how about we just saw, but an ambulance match?
You could do an ambulance match, absolutely. You know, it's got to be something that's going to be more violent than this, because to call for an Inferno match is just, it's like you have to top that, and that's just really difficult, and really the only things that really could top it would be Hell in a Cell.
Buried Alive or Casket Match.
Yeah, Buried Alive, Casket Match, something along those lines. First Blood would really be perfect, but sadly they can't do it.
Yeah, that whole no blood thing, yeah.
Yeah, that whole no blood thing is such a pain in the butt. And there's also the other sides of this, which is that it may not be an Inferno match. It may be, they may mean something else by it, but I think a lot of people would be extremely disappointed if it's not an Inferno match.
You and me include it.
It makes sense because you could do some really incredibly interesting things coming out of the Inferno match. I think one of the things we came up with is that you don't have a winner in this match. Because we were talking about, it's like, well, at least for me, who the hell am I going to root for? Because it's like, I'm a fan of the Wyatts, I'm a fan of Kane, I like both, and I don't want to see either get set on fire. And I don't want to see either lose, but it's like, somebody's got to win. Or do they?
It's like, could you do a double set on fire? And it's like, But then you think about it, well, it has to be their lower half, and that's hard to do in general.
It's hard to do in general, but it's not impossible, and it's something that they could probably come up with. And the other scenario is that Bray Wyatt sets Kane on fire, and Bray Wyatt wins the match, but then Bray Wyatt steps into the flames.
And we thought that was a really interesting scenario.
Especially seeing as if you have the next night on Raw, you have Bray Wyatt walk out, and he's completely unharmed. And it's, you know, he tying into the theory we were talking about last week, which is, you know, Kane and Bray Wyatt are related, their father and son, or any other combination you want to come up with. You have Bray Wyatt begin to tease that of, you know, well, my flesh isn't as weak as yours. My flesh is can't be burnt. I can't be destroyed with fire like you, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I'm not as weak as you, and kind of sort of maybe tease that and tease maybe the possibility that they're related, maybe not. It just, it kind of depends.
Right. It really does depend, and it all boils down to what kind of scenario can you possibly come up with for this matchup if it is indeed a Ring of Fire Inferno match. And we thought about it, especially when the movie came out. Can we set his head on fire?
Yeah, I don't think you can safely set it on fire. There's just too many safety implications with that.
But just imagine his head being ablaze.
Oh, I can totally see it. I can completely see it. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't go for that, and I'm pretty sure the company wouldn't go for that unless they light it on fire and somebody is literally right there with an extinguisher.
Yeah, so it really doesn't get out of control. But yeah, and I don't think lighting people on fire on their face and head is PG.
No, that's definitely not PG, but then again, this feud hasn't necessarily been PG.
Yeah, violence-wise, yeah, it's gone TV-14, yeah.
They almost took his head off with the steel steps. I think we're beyond PG.
A little bit.
So yeah, it's definitely an interesting scenario. We're definitely excited for it. That's to say the least.
Oh yeah.
This and Brock and Punk. And Cena and Bryan are really, at least have sold me on SummerSlam. I think they've sold Rock too.
Mm-hmm. They've definitely sold me on SummerSlam with those three matches.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very, very, very strong card. And apparently TNA is going to Tucson in September, to which I say, King Kitten, send me James Storm and Bobby Roode in a box. Thank you. So on that note, do we want to get into our question of the night?
Yeah, let's get into our question of the night. I should tell everyone we are going to be recording a special Total Divas podcast tomorrow evening, so it will be posted probably Saturday morning for people to listen to.
Yes, it'll be a hashtag Rack Extra.
Yeah, hashtag Rack Extra, yeah. So we're going to do that in a podcast form tomorrow, so you will have it Saturday for your listening pleasure over the weekend, just to keep everyone up to date, because I'm making changes on the fly. So our question tonight is as follows. What WWE superstar would you like to see as a minion? And all answers boil down to one person. Hornswoggle.
Who? Oh, God. Of course.
Everyone went for the stereotypical Hornswoggle.
Really, guys? Really? You can't be more creative than that.
I will say this. I believe Kane Kidd said Santino or Ricardo.
He's saying Santino in the chat room.
Okay, said Santino in the chat room. I think he said Ricardo as well. On the Facebooks.
On the Facebooks? Okay.
Yeah. If I were to have you have one created, because I think Lindsay has ideas for creating one, I'd like to see a Paul Heyman one.
That would be interesting.
I'd like to see a Daniel Bryan one.
You may see one sooner than you think.
And I'd like to see an AJ minion.
That would be interesting.
That's kind of where my scenarios lie. What's rattling in your brain?
I was thinking about Bryan. I was thinking about Punk. I was also thinking maybe, like, Big E.
Big E would be cool.
I can see Ziggler.
Ziggler would be kind of cool, too.
See, I can see pretty much any of them being
a minion.
A minion.
Yeah.
I can see them all in my head, like, being a minion.
Now,
only one I can't, like, I would have to figure out, you know, how it would logistically work is the Kane minion with the mask.
Kane minion would be tough. I want to see a Vince McMahon minion.
I don't know why, but I would want to make Vince McMahon Groot.
That'll work. There's a lot of possibilities. They all could really work.
Yeah, you could do this really with anybody. It's just logistically you'd have to figure it out with somebody or with some people as far as, you know, how you would do it, whether you would do the one eye or the two eye. Because I really like the one-eyed minion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for some of them, you'd have to do the two eyes just because, yeah, you know, that's how it kind of rolls.
That is kind of what I'm saying. So that is our question of the night.
It is our question of the night. So we are actually going to be ending just a little bit early.
Before we wrap up, we should mention one thing.
We should.
The greatest video to ever hit the internet. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, DirecTV.
Thank you so much, DirecTV.
Thank you for football on my phone, even though I can't get on my phone. But DirecTV, thank you for football on my phone.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that music video. Thank you so much for it.
If you haven't seen it, it's Eli and Peyton Manning rapping.
The only two people more white than Rock and I are rapping. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's very... Yeah, Grammar Slams, they were good too.
Yeah, the Grammar Slams, were awesome. Not gonna lie.
They were good too, but then I think Eli and Payne topped them.
The Grammar Slams are awesome on a different level.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So the internet's been full of awesome videos.
It has, so keep it up, internet. There are expectations.
So, and I'll post those out on. I'll post the Grammar Slams and the Eli Payne thing on the Facebooks at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
Yes.
I think that's our Facebook page.
Just look for the rack. It'll pop up.
It'll be there. Yeah, it's WTRTheRack. I should know my own goddamn pages.
You should, because you have to pimp them now.
I have to pimp them now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're wrapping a little early, but, you know, you're going to get more of us. Don't worry. We're not going anywhere, you know. We'll have more this weekend. There trust us. No, we have a lot to get. When we get into Total Divas, you will be pleasantly surprised. But we're running up against a little bit. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, midnight SNCB Radio beforehand. It is Cards Against Humanity. We get weird, we get evil, and then we get weird, wacky, and unusual on CB Radio. We're going to be talking about sharks and stuff because Lindsay's been sending me stuff. So, and we'll get into another Top 100 CB Radio midnight ish Sunday night. I see a band of angels. It is WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason, and Maggie covering the week of pro wrestling, probably a full-on SummerSlam for you as well. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will be back covering Monday Night Raw. Tuesday night's KFAB Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Jimmy Corderas and Zach Gallen will be on the show. We'll be back again next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for the Rack. We'll cover all a bunch of things: Impact, Hardcore Justice, SummerSlam, and Total Divas next week on the show live, 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you want to join fantasy football, email me, media@wildtalkradio.com. WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com. That's all I got.
You can follow me on Twitter @LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check out that. check that out. Click all the links, because apparently I'm dyslexic tonight. And, of course, visit CassieRelly.net, new layout coming soon, and linsward.deviantart.net, or I'm sorry, .com, which is on the website as well. Check that all out. Of course, stay tuned for the special podcast of Total Divas that we're going to be recording tomorrow night. It will be a Rack Extra. So tune in for that. Tune in to all the fine programming on this network because we all work very hard. And, of course, visit our awesome sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and, of course, MemlanePromo.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
WildTalkRadio.com.